From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Russia and China are again blocking a UN resolution that threatens sanctions against Syria, further vexing their Western counterparts on the Security Council, including U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice.
It's pitiful and deeply regrettable that again today Russia and China, for the third time, have vetoed a resolution that garnered the overwhelming support of this Security Council.
From New York, Linda Fasula offers more details on this controversial resolution and what that could mean for the UN's mandate in Syria.
The resolution would have given the Syrian government 10 days to stop using heavy weapons and withdraw its troops from cities and towns or face possible UN sanctions against regime officials. Russia had publicly warned it would block the measure if it included the threat of sanctions under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, a provision it feared could open the way to military intervention, as in Libya. Failure to adopt the measure leaves the future of the UN observer mission in Syria in limbo. For NPR News, I'm Linda Fasulo in New York.
Confronting voter worries over jobs, President Obama's trying to make the case today that he's trying to steer the country away from the kinds of Republican policies that he says brought the country to the brink of collapse a few years ago.
They don't have a plan to revive the middle class. Everything they're proposing, we tried for a decade and it didn't work.
The president campaigning in Jacksonville, Florida. In Roxbury, Massachusetts, Republican challenger Mitt Romney told voters not to buy into the president's promises, saying the incumbent is just looking out for number one.
The job he's interested in protecting is his own. The job that should be protected is the job of men and women in this country who want to get jobs, who want to go back to work, who want to have rising incomes again.
The presidential candidate's comments come hours after the Labor Department reported today that the number of people to file first-time unemployment claims rose last week by 34,000. Sales of previously owned homes have declined unexpectedly, dropping 5.4% in June. NPR's Craig Windham reports home resales were down to their lowest level in 8 months.
Economists had expected sales of existing homes to rise. Even with the decline, though, sales were still 4.5% higher than they were in June of last year. Walter Maloney with the National Association of Realtors says some procedural delays may be contributing to the drop in closings.
There is a clog of mortgage applications in the process, both for purchases and for refinances, and we're hearing more about delays in the closing process, so hopefully we'll see some of this bounce back in the next month or so.
The median price of previously owned homes sold in June was about $189,000. That's up nearly 8% from a year earlier. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
Before the close on Wall Street, Dow is up 34 points at 12,943. This is NPR. Home interest rates were down yet again. According to the mortgage giant Freddie Mac, the fixed rates on 30-year loans fell to 3.53%. The rate on the 15-year mortgage slid to 2.83%. Long-range weather and drought outlooks have been released, and the forecast is discouraging for many. It shows several more weeks of above-average temperatures and dry conditions. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbold has more.
Officials are calling the current drought the worst in 50 years. About half the country is going through a long heat spell this summer and getting little relief in the form of precipitation. South Dakota State Climatologist Dennis Toddy says the northern plains likely will remain hot and dry.
If you look over further east into the Corn Belt, the outlooks are even stronger, saying that the temperatures will be warmer than average and are stronger on staying dry even in the early part of the fall.
Toddy says damage has mostly been done to much of the corn crop, but he says timely rains could help soybean farmers. A heat advisory is in effect today, covering an area from northwest North Dakota to southern Arkansas. For NPR News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt in Vermilion, South Dakota.
Bulgaria's authorities are working to confirm the identity of the man who they say carried out a suicide attack yesterday on a bus filled with Israeli vacationers. You see, the bomber was carrying an apparently fake Michigan driver's license. Israel has blamed Hezbollah, the Lebanese militant group supported by Iran. Before the close on Wall Street, Dow was up 35 points, NASDAQ gaining 23, and the S&P 500 was up 4 points. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.